Welcome, everybody, and it's glad to see everybody virtually today. I wanted to start with a quick prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As we were instructed by your Son to begin our prayers, and we are in total agreement, Father in heaven, that we hallow your name because you're greatly revered, greatly honored, and are in our deepest and highest regard and respect. And that is because you are most holy and you are complete love towards us. And we thank you. And we pray and ask that you would bless your word as it goes forth and that we will get to know you more and hallow your name even more. So today we wanted to focus in on John 3:16. And on John 3:16, we know it's one of the favorite words in the scripture. And we see it on signposts everywhere, but a lot of people don't really appreciate it. But it's powerful. It's one of the few scriptures in the Bible, John 3:16, that encapsulates the whole Bible from before the creation until we're dwelling with God in eternal life. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And that encapsulates everything, how he loved the world even before it was created, and everybody in it that has come into being, he wants to share eternity. In John 10, verses 17 through 18, and in verse 27 through 30, we read the words of Jesus Christ. "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again," speaking about his resurrection. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." So you see, everything, all the love, especially as shown in Jesus Christ, everything comes from a command received from the Father. And Jesus continues, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So God surrounds us with his protection and his love and his grace, and he's everything to us, and we see him through the Son, Jesus Christ. As Christ says, "I and the Father are one." Now, in Matthew 11:25-28, it tells us that the Father is revealed in the Son. Jesus said, "At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me," he says. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So here in this passage, Jesus thanks God for being sovereign in revealing salvation. Then Jesus takes on himself that authority to reveal salvation as the Son. He uses that authority that he has now to reveal salvation. And God was sovereign in revealing that salvation, and he commanded his Son to come to us with the message of salvation, to invite the weary to enjoy salvation and rest in him, not only now, but throughout eternity. In all this, Jesus is God's wisdom. He is the voice and presence of God in the world. And he's the voice and presence of God in the Word. And he's the true interpreter of God's truth. And he continuously reflects who the Father is. Now, the name Jesus is a special name. It's actually the most special name in the universe. Philippians 2:9 tells us that God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name. Jesus is the first name, the very first name mentioned in the New Testament. Now, this brings us to that scripture where Jesus says he's the first and last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And beginning in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, Jesus is the first name mentioned. Matthew 1:1 says, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So there we see he is first. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, it says, "It is the name given to him by God." Now, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, as we read in Matthew 21, and instructed him. "And she," speaking of Mary, "will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." But what does the name Jesus mean? Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua, and it means Jehovah, the Savior in Hebrew, or it means the salvation of Jehovah. So that's the meaning of Joshua, and Jesus is the Greek equivalent, which means Jehovah the Savior, or the salvation of Jehovah. The name Jesus reveals that Jesus is not only a man. It's in his name. It reveals that Jesus is not only a man, but God. And not only God, but God becoming our salvation. Thus, he is our Savior. So Jesus literally means God, our Savior. Now, the Hebrew name Jehovah is the eternal, ever-existing God. Because the name Jesus means Jehovah, the Savior, this indicates to us that Jesus is Jehovah himself, God himself, who became a man to be our salvation. Only Jesus can save us from sin. Only Jesus can save mankind from God's righteous judgment. Only Jesus can save us from Satan. Only Jesus can save us from the world. Only Jesus can save us from a life without meaning and all these other negative things that we could think of. Today, we can be saved from the many things that bother us simply by calling on the name of Jesus, our Savior, who is God, who saves us from many things every day. He saves us from many things we're not even aware of. We can see another name for him in Matthew 1 and verse 23. The angel said to Joseph, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Now, Jesus was the name given by God, whereas Emmanuel, meaning God with us, was the name given to him by man, or by which man called him. So you see, God allowed us to participate. So Jesus, the Savior, is God with us, Emmanuel. Now, we don't say Emmanuel, but let me unpack this. He is God, and he is also God who came in the flesh to dwell among us. He is not only God, but he's God with us. Before God came in the flesh as the man Jesus, God was dwelling in the heavens in unapproachable light. He couldn't be approached. But our Lord Jesus, who was very God himself, became an approachable man we could relate to personally. He was truly Emmanuel, God with us. Now, his name, meaning God with us, was revealed more so to us at his resurrection Today, we do not say his name as Emmanuel directly, but we participate in this prophecy every time we say that God dwells in the body of Christ. God with us, dwelling with us in the body of Christ, or he dwells in us individually. Every time we say, God dwells in you, God dwells in me, God dwells in us, we're in Jesus and he's in us. We're really saying his name, Emmanuel. He is God with us. Another name used in the New Testament to refer to him is Christ. Now, John 1:41 says, but he first found his own brother Simon and said, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. Now, Messiah is a Hebrew word, and Christ is the Greek translation. Both mean the anointed. So Christ is God's anointed, the one appointed by God the Father to accomplish God's purpose, to accomplish God's eternal plan. So Christ was appointed by God to do his will and to carry out his eternal purpose. Christ was the one foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament and whom God's people looked for. And Luke 4 tells us and shows us how the coming of Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies concerning the anointed one of God. In verses 17 through 21, it says, Jesus turned up at the synagogue and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. This was in Nazareth. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away and release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And that is the Jubilee when all are set free. And he has proclaimed these things. And when he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant, he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So he was announcing himself as the Messiah, God's anointed, who had been appointed by the Father to carry out his eternal purpose, to carry out his will. So Christ is the one who brings the good news of his salvation. He took this authority that the Father had given him. The Father, in his sovereignty, had declared salvation, and Jesus took that authority to bring that declaration to us. And he heals our broken hearts. He proclaims liberty to us. He opens our eyes. And when we receive him, we receive the one who is working out God's purpose to fulfill his desire. Now, another name is the Word. And studying this had a lot deeper meaning than I thought. The beginning of John chapter 1, it's deep and profound. But verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you and I use words every day, and words are used to define, explain, and express. So when we talk, that's what we're doing. We're using words to define, explain, and express. The Word is the definition, he's the explanation, and he's the expression of God. Hence, it is man's way to understand how God is defined, explained, and expressed. So Jesus defines, explains, and expresses God. Without Christ being the Word, God would be mysterious and unknowable to us. The Lord as the Word defined, explained, and expressed God the Father to us. He declared to us who God is. Now, John 1:14 is also very beautiful. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling place among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the Old Testament, The tabernacle was God's dwelling place among his people. But here, among us, New Testament people, the tabernacle is the word of God who became flesh, and he tabernacles among us. Now, Jesus is also called the Lamb of God. In John 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist was baptizing people in Bethany, he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Now, in the Jewish culture of the day, they would have known that lambs were sacrificed as an offering to God, and that it was the blood that makes atonement for one's life. They had learned that through centuries of offering the sacrifice, especially on the Day of Atonement, when a sacrifice was made for all of the people. Now, Hebrews 9 and verse 22 says, "Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So that means that for God to forgive us our sins, it was necessary for someone to die. And that someone was the precious, spotless Lamb of God who gave his life to redeem each one of us. So we see how the love of God is being expressed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who come to believe in him might have eternal life and spend eternity with him. So just these few names of our Lord tell us how much our Father loves you and me. We see Jesus as God who came to be our Savior, and as Emmanuel, God who is with us. Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." We can praise him as Christ, God's anointed one who carries out God's purpose, and as the Word, the one who expressed God in everything he did and said. And we can thank and praise him for being the Lamb of God without spot or blemish, who sacrificed himself to accomplish redemption for our sins and to take us into eternal life with him, where eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of men what God has prepared for us. We have not even thunk it, as somebody once said. Jesus came to reveal to us the Father and to show us the way to the Father and modeled how we could have a relationship with him through the Holy Spirit and how to connect with the Father daily through prayer. He modeled prayer, Bible study. He just really quoted and used scripture and everything that he said and did and referred to it in every way. You could see how he applied himself as a man to know everything that he could about his Father. And he reveals to us God the Father through fellowshipping with us. And brethren, we reveal God the Father to one another by fellowshipping with one another. When we fellowship with one another, it should be the love of God poured out. John 27 and verse 50, and Mel referred to this in the offering. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They were resuscitated from the dead, and they came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people." And I believe that woke a lot of people up. The records tell us that after the resurrection and during that time, that one third of the people in Jerusalem became Christians. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22 tells us, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body." There was a physical representation of the veil in the temple being torn, but wow, Jesus experienced that in his body for us. His body was torn for us at the cross. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water, and that is pure sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This brings in mind the Lord's Supper, where through his body we have received access to God in prayer. And prayer is powerful. There's power in the blood, as they say. In other words, God answers every prayer that we have. He answers yes to every prayer that we have that is according to his will. And prayer is so powerful that he restricts its power by not allowing us to pray for those things, not giving us an answer when we're praying amiss. Prayer is so powerful, we need to learn everything that we can about it, because it is a power given by God the Father, because of Jesus Christ giving us access. And so, as we have just heard, the barrier that prevented us entering the most holy place has been removed by our Lord, so that through the blood of Jesus shed on our behalf that has purified us, we can enter the most holy place, come directly before God the Father, as I know we do, because when we go to pray all the time, we're praying to the Father. We can have a close relationship with God the Father now, who showed us his love through his Son, who showed us himself through his Son. God's very own love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:14 tells us we spread the news about the love of God because Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. So it's the love of God that drives us to tell others about God. Bible reading and Bible study. Some say, I can't pray. But Bible reading and Bible study triggers prayers. So if we read the Bible, Bible reading and Bible study triggers our prayer life and gives us a lot to talk with God about. So, in closing, let's draw close to God. Let's draw close to him so that we become cups running over with his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I'll close with a short prayer. Father, thank you for you. Thank you for opening our eyes to see you, to giving us the power to pray to you through Jesus Christ, giving us access to you, giving us the power of prayer, and giving us the power to shed about your love to all that we come in contact with. Bless us, Almighty Father in heaven, to emulate you in your heart's desire and in everything we do. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.